Let us pray. Father God, as we explore your word this morning, speak to each one of us through the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. As we explore the Beatitudes, may your blessing rest on each one of us. Open our hearts to receive your word so that we may live lives that bring glory to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The title of the talk this morning is The Beatitudes, Kingdom versus Worldly Values. I am claiming to be a child of the 70s. I was born in the 60s, but I can't remember a lot of it. But one thing I remember from the 70s are TV adverts. I remember the watch out, there's a Humphrey about. I recall the R. White's Lemonade. And who can forget Shake and Vac? On a similar note, do you remember Joe and Petunia? Or perhaps Charlie, the cat? Those were famous, perhaps now infamous, government information films from the 1960s and 70s. They taught you how to cross the road, not to talk to strangers, etc. Sorry if you're too young to remember. As I said, public information films, public warning films, a public health warning. And that's very much what our readings today are very much about, public health. They are there to warn people, to encourage them to make the right choice. And indeed, this morning's readings are all about the choices that people make. Both the psalm that was read as our call to worship this morning and the reading from Jeremiah are so closely related to our gospel reading from Luke that we will look at all these readings together. You've probably realized from the gospel reading that we're going to be exploring the Beatitudes. But rather than focusing on the usual account, the longer account from Matthew's Gospel, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, we're actually looking at Luke's shorter account, which, strangely enough, is often referred to as the Sermon on the Plain. To set the passage into a context, a huge group of people were following Jesus. Verse 17 and 18 states that a large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. For one thing, a crowd of disciples sounds a lot more than 12. It implies that there were people there who were following Jesus, who had put their faith in him. But the gospel also tells us that there was also a great number of people from all over the area of Judea. These people were searching, looking for answers, and they wanted those answers from Jesus, whether that was through healing or whether it was through his teaching. The Latin word beatitude is actually translated as blessing, and a number of Bible commentators refer them to as standards of conduct for godly living. In his teaching to the people on the plain, Jesus was referring to two distinct groups of people, those who were blessed and those who were not. But who were these people? What was the distinction between them? And what is the relevance to us today? They are relevant because these same two groups of people are mentioned in our other readings from Jeremiah and from the Psalms. They illustrate the timelessness of the problem. The two passages from the Old Testament help us to understand our gospel reading and the distinction that separates these two groups of people. First of all, there is the need to focus upon God. If we first of all look back to our reading from Jeremiah, the people of Judah at the time had turned away from God. They were relying on military alliances and on false gods. And as a result, they were described as barren and unfruitful. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 and 6, the Lord says, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in the salt land where no one lives." The wastelands are that place without God. These are the people who have defined their values by those of the world. The people who have found their comfort elsewhere, away from God, who have no place for God in their lives. In contrast, the following two verses focus on the people who are defined as by God's kingdom values, who have realized the need for God in their lives. Verses 7 and 8 say, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by a stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Just think for a moment how much hope there are in those two verses. They're both amazing and encouraging. That analogy of a tree planted by water with strong roots and bearing fruit. How does this come about? Well, both passages are clear that it's only through God's blessing. But what do we need to do to receive that blessing? First and foremost, as we have already heard, we need to trust in God. When I was preparing for this service, a song based on Psalm 121 came to mind. It goes, "I lift my eyes up to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the world." And the chorus begins, "Oh, how I need you. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer." The people who are being saved were those who had focused upon God, who had put him first rather than relying on worldly wealth, worldly happiness, or reputation. Those were also the people who had strong roots, those roots being rooted in God's word. Here we have that image again of the tree by the stream, with its strong roots and bearing fruit, mentioned both in the psalm and in our reading from Jeremiah. How often did Jesus use the imagery of roots and shoots within his teaching? The requirement for living water, the need to be pruned by the master gardener, and the importance of bearing fruit. Moving on quickly to just look at a few those in a bit more detail. How do we develop strong roots? Looking back to Psalm 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners, or who sit in the company of mockers, but who takes delight in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. We have God's word given to us through the Bible by reading, reflecting, and allowing God's word to speak it to us. He is able to transform us both day and night. We can become his people by listening to his word and allowing it to live and work in our lives. Second point is about the tree being planted by the stream. Nothing can live without water. As human beings, we might last 3 weeks without food. But without water, it's believed that we'll only live for 3 or 4 days. Just as our physical bodies require water in order to survive, so do our spiritual bodies. A verse from John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last and great day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him." Our roots need to be drinking from that living water, daily, hourly, constantly. So we have to have strong roots. We have to be planted by the stream and receive that living water. But we also are commanded to bear fruit. We are to live lives that are distinctive. Throughout the Bible, God's people are instructed to bear fruit. It is the fruit we bear that makes us distinctive, the outward signs of being part of God's kingdom that we display. But more than just the outward appearance, God, speaking in Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, emphasizes that it's essential that our heart is right, that it's what's on the inside that determines what is on the outside. The guidance we have for the fruit that we should bear is given in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. God's people are commanded to bear these fruits. Imagine what our world would be like if everyone bore this kind of fruit. To summarize, Psalm 1 is often referred to as a psalm of commitment. And the word commitment emphasizes a focus upon one thing. And that one thing would appear to distinguish the two groups this morning. The blessed were those who long for God, who realize that they need God in their lives, who want to be a part of his kingdom. The blessed are those with strong roots in God's living water, meditating on God's word. The blessed are those who are bearing good fruit for the kingdom and displaying those kingdom values. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Help us to remain rooted in your word, and through your Holy Spirit, empower us to be people of the kingdom, displaying the fruit of your Spirit in our lives to the people we meet day by day. May we always trust in you and allow you to guide our lives. Amen.